Welcome to the deep dive. You know, we love when you send us research, and this one on tree growth in Sweden was really interesting.
Yeah, it kind of turns everything we thought we knew on its head.
It really does. I mean, we always think of those giant ancient trees as like they've reached their limit, yeah. You know?
Right, like they've stopped growing.
But this study is saying they might be growing faster than ever.
Yeah, and they really went all in on this. They looked at tree rings from four different species, spruce and pine.
Those are the ones that keep their needles all year round, right?
Exactly, the coniferous trees. And they also looked at oak and beech.
Deciduous. So the ones that lose their leaves.
Right. And they were measuring how much each tree grows every year, but not just height.
More like how much they're actually adding, you know, in terms of like bulk.
Yeah, their biomass. And they weren't just looking at sapling either. Yeah. They analyzed rings from trees that were sometimes hundreds of years old.
Oh, wow. So they were able to track growth over centuries. So did they find that these older trees were just kind of coasting along, like adding just a little bit of growth each year?
Actually, the opposite. They found that as trees age, they keep adding biomass at an increasing rate.
Really?
Yeah, it's like the opposite of what we'd expect. And it doesn't matter what species or where they were growing in Sweden. This study is challenging the assumption that older trees eventually plateau in their growth.
That's pretty wild. So like a massive 200-year-old tree might be packing on as much new growth in a year as a bunch of younger trees combined.
Yeah, that's what the data is suggesting. And this has huge implications for everything from carbon storage to biodiversity.
Okay, so let's unpack that. Mm. Why does this matter so much for carbon storage?
Well, we know trees are like carbon sponges, right? They pull CO2 out of the atmosphere.
Right.
But if bigger, older trees are growing faster than we thought, they're even more crucial for fighting climate change than we realized. They're storing massive amounts of carbon.
So cutting down those old trees, even if we plant new ones, that could be a major setback.
Yeah. Exactly. This research highlights the incredible value of old growth forests. It takes decades for new trees to catch up to the carbon storage capacity of their ancient predecessors.
Now, the study looked at both coniferous trees, like the spruce and pine, that keep their needles all year, and deciduous trees, like oak and beech, that lose their leaves. Any surprises there?
Yeah, actually, they found that on average, the deciduous trees were putting on more biomass each year.
Wait, so the trees that lose all their leaves are outgrowing the ones that stay green all year. You'd think having leaves year-round would give them an edge.
It does seem counterintuitive, right?
Yeah.
There could be several factors at play here, but one theory is that deciduous trees might be more efficient at converting sunlight into biomass during their shorter growing season.
It's like they're sprinting to pack on as much growth as possible before winter.
Precisely. Whereas the evergreens with their year-round needles might be more like marathon runners, steadily growing at a slower pace.
Interesting. Did the researchers notice any other patterns, like variations in growth, depending on where the trees were located in Sweden?
Yeah, latitude definitely plays a role. Just like you'd expect, trees further north, where it's colder, with shorter growing seasons, grew slower than those down south.
Makes sense. I can picture those lush forests in southern Sweden compared to the harsher conditions up north.
Right, but here's where it gets even more interesting. They also compared the growth rates of trees that sprouted in different years.
Hold on, so we're not talking about a tree's total age now, but when it first began growing.
Exactly. They looked at trees that might be the same age now, but sprouted decades apart. And for spruce and beech, the trees that sprouted more recently were putting on biomass faster than their older counterparts.
Whoa, so a beech tree that sprouted, say, 50 years ago is growing faster than a beech of the same age that sprouted 100 years ago.
Exactly. It suggests something is changing in the environment to boost growth rates.
And I bet you're going to tell me this is connected to climate change.
It's a leading theory. The researchers point to warmer temperatures leading to longer growing seasons and increased CO2 in the atmosphere, which can act like a fertilizer for trees. These newer trees are essentially benefiting from the very changes that are causing us concern.
That's both fascinating and a bit concerning. Like a silver lining with some potentially dark clouds looming.
It's a complex picture for sure. While increased CO2 might boost growth, it could have other consequences down the line.
Like what kind of consequences?
Well, there's some concern that increased growth rates might lead to changes in wood density, potentially making trees more vulnerable to pests or diseases. It's not a simple equation.
So this faster growth isn't necessarily a sign of overall forest health in the long run.
That's a key takeaway. We can't assume that faster is always better. It raises important questions about the long-term sustainability of these accelerated growth rates and how they might affect the delicate balance of the forest ecosystem.
This is already so much to think about, and we've just scratched the surface. Where do we go from here? How does all of this impact our understanding of forestry and conservation?
Great question, and it's one we'll dive into next. This research has major implications for how we manage forests, protect biodiversity, and even approach climate change mitigation.
Okay, so we've talked about how this research, you know, really changes our ideas about tree growth, especially those older trees acting like these huge carbon storage units.
Yeah, they're like the unsung heroes of climate change mitigation.
Totally. But what does this mean for like the bigger picture of how we manage forests?
It really highlights the need for a more holistic approach to forestry. You know, we can't just think about timber production anymore.
Right.
We have to consider the long-term impact on carbon storage, biodiversity, the whole ecosystem.
You mentioned that old growth forests are super important for carbon storage. Does that mean like we should just never cut down an old tree?
It's tough because it's not that simple, but it definitely raises questions about current forestry practices. Remember, it takes a long time for a new forest to match the carbon storage of an old growth forest. Those older trees have centuries worth of carbon locked away in their wood.
So even if we plant a ton of new trees, we're still losing out on a lot of carbon storage in the meantime.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not just about the number of trees, it's the age and the size too.
Yeah.
Larger, older trees are storing way more carbon than a bunch of younger trees combined. Think of it like investing.
Okay.
You wouldn't cash out a long-term investment before it matures, right?
That's a great analogy.
So we need to apply that same thinking to forests.
So how do we find that balance between needing timber, but also protecting these carbon-storing giants?
I think it requires a shift in our thinking.
Yeah.
We need to move away from focusing on short-term gains and look at the long-term health and sustainability of the forests. That means factoring in carbon storage, not just how much timber we can get.
So things like selective logging, where they only harvest certain trees, might be a better option than just clear cutting everything.
Right. And this research can help make those decisions. You know, knowing that some species like spruce and beech are growing faster now, maybe we prioritize those in reforestation to maximize carbon sequestration.
So we're not just looking at how much wood a tree can give us, but how much carbon it can pull out of the atmosphere.
Exactly. But we can't forget that faster growth isn't always a good thing.
Right. We talked about that.
Yeah, we got to be aware of the potential downsides, like changes in wood density or maybe increased vulnerability to pests.
It's like trying to walk a tightrope.
Yeah.
We want to promote growth, but also make sure it's sustainable for the long haul. And what about biodiversity? We can't forget about that.
Oh, absolutely. Old growth forests are like biodiversity hotspots. All those older trees create these unique habitats and support tons of different plants and animals and fungi, everything.
So protecting those forests isn't just about climate change then. It's about protecting a ton of different species.
Exactly. It's all connected. We lose those old growth forests. We lose way more than just carbon storage. We lose a vital part of the planet's biodiversity.
This is already so complex. And it feels like every answer brings up like five more questions.
That's science for you. And this study is a great example. It's really making us rethink how forests work and how we can manage them in the future.
Well, speaking of challenging assumptions, we were talking earlier about how deciduous trees, the ones that lose their leaves, were actually outgrowing the evergreens. Did the researchers have any theories about why that's happening?
They did. It's still not totally clear, but there are some possibilities. One idea is that deciduous trees are just more efficient at photosynthesis during their shorter growing season.
So they're making the most of their time in the sun.
Exactly. They have a limited time to grow, so they go all out. Evergreens, on the other hand, can photosynthesize year-round, but they have to use energy to keep those needles alive through the winter.
So it's like a trade-off between maximizing growth when it's warm versus saving energy when it's cold.
Exactly. And in the areas they studied, it seems like deciduous trees might have a better strategy. But there could be other factors too, like differences in nutrients or water use. More research is needed to really understand what's going on.
I'm starting to think we need a whole separate deep dive just on photosynthesis.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a fascinating topic.
Well, we've covered so much today, from how these ancient trees are growing to what it means for how we manage forests and protect biodiversity. But I keep thinking back to the fact that these older trees might be growing faster than ever. What does that even mean for the future of forests? Are they going to just keep getting bigger and better at storing carbon? Or is there a limit?
Those are the big questions.
Yeah.
To be honest, we don't have all the answers yet. This research opens up way more questions than it answers.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it so exciting. It's really pushing us to rethink what we know about these ecosystems.
So what's next? What kind of research do we need to do to fill in those gaps? Well, we need more long-term studies like this one to really track tree growth over time in different environments. We got to figure out how things like climate change and pollution and different forestry practices are all affecting these growth patterns.
And how do we use all of this research to actually take action? What can people do to help support healthy forests, both locally and globally?
That's a great question, and it's one we'll dig into in our final segment. There are a lot of ways to get involved, from supporting sustainable forestry to pushing for policies that protect old growth forests.
Okay, so we've been talking about all this really cool research on tree growth, and it's honestly made me look at trees in a whole new way.
I know, me too. It's amazing what's going on right under our noses.
Right. But I keep coming back to, like, what do we do with this knowledge?
Yeah.
How do we actually make sure forests are healthy in the future?
That's the big question, isn't it? And the good news is there's actually a lot we can do, both on a personal level and as a society.
So let's start with individual actions. What can our listeners do, like, in their everyday lives to make a difference?
I think first and foremost, just stay informed. You know, keep learning about these issues and engage with the science and understand how forest health connects to your own life, even if you don't live near a forest.
Because even if we don't see trees every day, our choices still have an impact.
Exactly. Like, think about your consumption habits. Do you know where your wood products come from?
Mm.
Are they sustainably sourced? Mm. Supporting companies that prioritize responsible forestry practices is a huge step.
It's like voting with our dollars.
Right. And then, of course, there's the big one, reducing your carbon footprint.
Oh.
Every little bit helps when it comes to slowing down climate change, which is a huge threat to forests.
So driving less, using energy efficient appliances, even like being mindful of what we eat, that all makes a difference.
It all adds up. And don't underestimate the power of your voice either. You know, talk to your friends and family about this stuff. Advocate for policy changes and support organizations that are working to protect forests.
I think sometimes it feels like individual actions are just a drop in the bucket, you know?
Yeah. But a bucket is made up of drops, right? When enough people come together and demand change, it creates a wave that can't be ignored.
So be informed, make good choices, and speak up for what you believe in.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that we're all connected to this planet. Our actions have consequences.
So true. So what about those bigger systemic changes? What needs to happen to really protect forests for the long haul?
We need strong policies that prioritize sustainable forest management, protect those old growth forests, and promote reforestation efforts that focus on biodiversity and carbon sequestration.
So it's not just about planting more trees, but planting the right trees in the right spots.
Exactly. And we need to invest in research to better understand how all of this works. You know, this study on tree growth is a perfect example of how scientific discoveries can shape our actions.
This deep dive has definitely shown me how complex forests really are. They're way more than just a bunch of trees. They're these whole ecosystems that play a vital role in keeping our planet healthy.
I agree. And the more we learn about them, the more we realize how much we still don't know.
That's kind of humbling.
It is, but it's also exciting. You know, it reminds us to approach these issues with curiosity and humility and a commitment to keep learning.
Well said. I think this deep dive has given everyone a lot to think about, and hopefully it's inspired our listeners to learn more, get involved, and make a difference.
Absolutely. Here's to a greener future.
To a greener future. Thanks for joining us on the deep dive.